feel prepared. It has been a very fruitful day so far, but a fairly long one. We had the NHS this morning, and now we have the NCOP chair. So welcome to this meeting with the panel. I think I'm going to ask.
Without any waste of time, my name is J.P. Sitola. I'm the House Chairperson in the National Council of Provinces for Oversight and Accountability. Just on your left side is Reverend Mwacha. He's from Northwest. He's the Chairperson of the Select Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs. Next to Reverend Mwacha is the Honorable Nosipho Mdwanambi from the Western Cape Province, the Chairperson of the Economic and Foreign Affairs Select Committee, which deals with trade and industry, minerals and energy, and what else? And foreign affairs. Then next to Mr. Mdwanambi is Mr. Honorable Tutu Sonda Khalani from the Free State, the Chairperson of the Select Committee on Finance. Next to me here is Honorable Khalidi, Butin Khalidi from Mpumalanga. He's chairing the Joint Budget Committee. The Joint Budget Committee is a committee that is for both houses of parliament. Next to Khalidi is Honorable Khoshi Mukwena from the Limpopo. I'm not sure now with this reconfiguration of our domestic where is Limpopo Mpumalanga, but he's here on capacity of Limpopo. He's chairing our committee on the Select Committee on the Security and Constitutional Affairs. And on that other side is Honorable Sikelo Shikweka from Gauteng. He's chairing our committee on local government and public administration. Next to him is Honorable Lithukile Moseti. He's a co-chairperson of the Joint Ethics Committee of Parliament, the committee that always, after it has met, publishes certain information that is very useful in the print and electronic media. So I think for now, that's all that we have at this point in time. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much,
Mr.
And welcome to all the chairs to the meeting today. I think perhaps we should start with the background briefing. And a little bit about how the NCOP functions to represent the provinces in terms of mandates, etc. The problems that you have encountered in being able to fulfill your own mandate, and what you think would be some of the recommendations as to how Parliament could improve its functioning from the experience of the NCOP.
I think I'll just provide some brief background and context, and other fellow colleagues will add. Maybe it's important that one must provide the contextual, background of the National Council of Provinces, because more often, people tend to conflate the notion of the National Council of Provinces as it is currently articulated within our constitutional dispensation with a Senate, simply a House of Review, which is not, fundamentally, it is not the case. On the one hand, the National Council of Provinces, as its name suggests, is to ensure that provincial interests are represented in the National Seat of Government. Even by its nature, in which, the nature of its own appointment or election, it reflects that particular orientation. Because members of the National Council of Provinces necessarily are actually appointed by their own legislature to come and represent those legislatures here in the National Council of Provinces. So having said that, there are two sets of context that one needs to take into account before coming to determination of whatever challenges that are there in terms of the lawmaking powers of the NCOP. It has got the role in the passing of what we call legislation that deals with exclusive national competence. In terms of the constitution, is called Section 75 legislation. in that particular respect, it does not have to get the mandate from provinces, but it simply has to scrutinize that legislation on the basis of a test, you know, to look at its implications, you know, in terms of, you know, provinces across, you know, the country. And the manner of voting in that respect is basically party political, you know. It's not on the basis of provincial delegation. Then the other aspect relates to Section 76 legislation, which in terms of our constitution relates to the concurrent functions, the shared responsibilities of the national and the provincial government. In this respect, the NCOP failures or successes cannot be properly located if you don't locate and capture the fundamental aspect of where the mandate arises, which is the legislature. Because the NCOP, when that particular legislation, 76 legislation, is presented, it goes and provides a briefing to its respective provincial legislatures. And after that briefing, legislators run in their own right and in their own way to canvass public opinions and arrive at whatever decision that they arrive at, you know, in their own right as legislators. After which then they forward the mandate to a respective provincial delegation to say, help out a provincial delegation on this particular thing. This is our particular position, no? And there's a provision for negotiating mandates, you know, currently in terms of our rules, whereby the first stage, you know, after getting the views of the provinces, is to allow a space, you know, for negotiations, you know, by a permanent delegate looking into various, you know, arguments and perspectives on a particular legislation from various, you know, legislatures. After that particular process, the whole issue is then feedback to provincial legislature to look on the issues that might have arisen in the course of the negotiating process at national level. And after that, each province then sent its final mandate to the SOP. And in terms of the rule and the constitution, you vote according to what your provincial legislature has decided. So I think that is the context that we need to take into account, you know, before we can come to any determination whether there's a whatever, you know, failure or success in that particular respect. Thanks.
Thanks very much for that background. I think now the important thing is the assessment and evaluation by the chairs in terms of how that functions. Your own assessment of how that actually functions and where the weaknesses lie. What works and what doesn't work.
Maybe we need to start from the point that is this NCOP is a very unique experience. Because it looks like it is the only experience internationally that you have of this nature, and therefore it is evolving. And so, as we were sitting in the NCOP, I think the late chairperson, what he said, we needed to carve our own niche, if you like, of the NCOP. So that as you do that, you don't duplicate what the National Assembly does, for instance. And so, in terms of your question then, I think, because this house is evolving for 10 years now, sitting from where I'm seated, I think there's a whole range of things that must be dealt with, so that they are better able to understand that. In other words, the relationships between the NCOP and provinces, first and foremost, in terms of coordinating. There's an interesting question that was raised by the Minister of Finance in our 10th anniversary, where he says, national policies developed by national departments, but implemented by provinces. Now, part of the challenge you might have then is in the context of this problem. There's also money allocated for these things. But then sometimes provinces would want to use their own discretion. In other words, This money is then allocated to something else seen by a province as its own as its own priority. And so how do you deal with that kind of a problem? You then have issues of municipalities, again, who also receive money from the national fiscal, use their own discretion. And so I'm saying, as we evaluate the role of the NCOP, let's look at the whole spectrum of engagement, municipalities, provinces, and so on. And therefore, part of the bigger challenge for us is exactly that. How do we coordinate oversight in the context of provincial legislatures, in the context of councils? And this is basically the issue we are engaging with on an ongoing basis. It is a big challenge. We are trying to engage with it. Sometimes there are tensions, if you like. Some time ago, there was some huge discussion where people were saying, no, it is not clearly stated in the Constitution that foreign residents of you ought to do oversight over provinces and so on and so on. So there's been some engagement in respect of this thing. Something as we therefore do oversight, there are always those tensions in terms of our own performance as a house. But I think from the point of view of foreigners passing legislation, especially the 76 pieces of legislation, I suspect the NCOP together with the provinces have done fairly well. Now the problem has always been in some provinces there has been foreigners in terms of the laws that have been rejected. There have been no public hearings held by the respective provinces themselves. And unfortunately, the NCOP is not able to enforce or compel provinces to hold public hearings. All what you do as a permanent delegate, you go and brief them. And then the next thing, what they do is a matter that foreigners, in some of the cases, as we are seated here, would want to have, as Mr. Swen was saying, a view of the legislature in respect of the negotiating money. And in some cases, it becomes a mandate from the committee itself instead of the legislature. It's one gap that I think needs to be dealt with. But just essentially in terms of lawmaking, I think we've done fairly well as a house. But number two, in terms of oversight, again, with the kinds of challenges that are faced fairly well. The biggest problem that I think we have as a house is that we've got small numbers. We're about 54 as a house. I mean, the committees that are here are clustered for them. You've got the same members in one committee. There are 9 members in each committee. And then the 2 committees that Mr. Swen was talking about, Joint Budget Committee and Finance, were all the same members. Committees, public administration, local government, constitutional affairs, and so on. The same members. What it then means is that if you've got to go and do oversight as a committee, in other words, it means the other component must delay its own program, if you like. In other words, local government can't go out as local government because the same members are in the other committee. Simply means then that committee must wait for the other committee to be able to go and do oversight. So I think that's the other bigger problem that we're facing as a house, the number. Then the other thing that I think is a bigger challenge for which we've really raised with the powers that be, the capacity of these same committees. How do you ensure that, for instance, you verify most of the information? We've got to deal with 283 municipalities. You've got this very few numbers. You also have capacity problems in terms of your research, etc., in respect of the NCOP. How do you ensure that before you even send your committees out on the ground, there's well-researched information so that you're able to verify some of the issues that you've got to deal with as a committee. Something in trying to carve our niche as a council, there are these problems, the issues of development, but the problem, biggest problem, is for us, I think, to be able, because part of what we've got to do as a committee, is to bite as much as we can chew. Simply means we must be able to be focused and do a little that can be done in a particular area, efficiently, effectively. Unfortunately, again, we've got to be engaging with almost all the stakeholders, the provinces, local government, etc. So I'm just saying that's the kind of problem that you have as a council. So fairly, we're getting there slowly but surely, but I think if we are able to address some of the capacity challenges, we might be able to do some better work. Thank you.
I'm just asking for someone to just help me with all the hands, because there's a number of hands that are going up. This is Shashida. Okay.
Thank you very much. When
I just ask for the recording that people just introduced their
name
and the committee as well. Thanks very much.
Well, as I was introduced earlier on, my name is Tolo Shikreza. I'm chairing the committee dealing with local government, public service and administration in South Africa, which are key pillars of service delivery, those two areas. I'm not sure how much time do we have.
We scheduled to finish our meeting at 4:30.
It means we are left with less than an hour.
Unfortunately,
less than an hour.
I think, though, that as we said to the chairs of the NA earlier today, that we'd want to continue to engage, and where there were issues that were raised, we also found that we'd like them to meet as their own, on their own, and put forward a document to the panel on specific recommendations and proposals. And I think it would be very useful for the NCOP chairs as well to have something similar to give to the panel for consideration, so not to consider this the final point of presentation. Thanks very much.
In fact, when I came in, I was talking to Aubrey. He says that they are coming to grill us. I was shocked. It was asked to grill them. Like, any person who comes to this kitchen. Now, I find it now because, to me, one would take it as an ambush, this grilling, that you're supposed to prepare sometimes the presentation, think things through, so that when you present something that is a bit professional. What you are on the other side this time around, in this discussion. The other matter that is in the Constitution, derived in the Constitution, on Section 74, it's when there's a change of provincial boundaries, where you find that a province is a veto, which is the only clause where provinces have a veto over a national legislation. Therefore, you have that then that provinces must be able to speak, be able to state their views on that area, which is an area of importance in terms of ensuring that the boundaries of provinces are carved in a particular way. And I think all of us know that what is happening is we have not resolved those issues, even up until now. As we speak, we are dealing with the laws that have been returned by the Constitutional Court, where it pronounced that public hearings were not held, the involvement of the people was not done thoroughly. That takes me to an issue to me that I think is an area where we must develop a protocol. A protocol between the National Council of Provinces and legislatures. That when a bill comes, what is an expectation of the NCOP vis-a-vis the legislatures in relation to the processing of legislation on Section 76 or 74 for that matter? which is something that was not clarified, and the court has raised an issue. Because when you call the provinces, they say, no, when you present a deal, you must incur the cost, because the deal comes from you, and also the human resource personnel that is required in that respect. I'm saying that the Institute of PRC must develop protocols between itself and the legislature in that respect, which to me I think is quite important. The other area of importance, which I think we are supposed to improve on, is around communication. There's a lot of work we do, but little, few people know about what we do, which the capacity around communication, I think, has to be developed in the institution. But not only that, the capacity to be able to question, scrutinize what is presented by the executive. That capacity, as we speak, it depends upon how brilliant you are and your team. It's not, there are no systems that are supposed to do that. And in that respect, then you find that more often than not, people rely on what is said by the executive. Then the oversight is not exercised to the latter, as is expected, in a way. Then I'm saying overall, I think to me, we must look at what are the requirements of the institution in terms of capacity, human and otherwise, so that it's able to function optimally. I mean, you go to other countries, you find that a committee member, a member, has met with about four people who assist, dealing with various areas that need to be done. Which is not the case in the institution. That is because we're a developing country. The institution of democracy are still new. Therefore, that's why we have that challenge, as you speak. The other area is around the involvement of local government in the lawmaking processes. It is not consistent, and at times it is quite erratic in a way, which to me, I think that there must be consistency in the way local government gets involved in the lawmaking processes in the country, because the NCOP is catering for 10 members of local government to be part of the NCOP, which I think that space has not been utilized as it's supposed to be. The discussions are going on in that respect to ensure that there's that involvement. The other area that one thinks has to be improved is an oversight. As it has been said by colleague Khalane, that our numbers, I mean, we deal, let me make an example about computer access in. I deal with public sector administration and local government. What happens is that that's a committee of 9 people. Same people. What happens is the change of a chairperson. The chairperson changes, I become a member, and my colleague, Mkwena, becomes the chair, on the same numbers of 2 and 9. Then you have to deal with intelligence, defense, SAPS, correctional services, and justice. The same 9 people. Now, you find that in terms of you being able to do justice to the work given, it's humanly impossible. It's very, very challenging in a way. Therefore, the issue of numbers is something to me, if good work has to be done, has to be looked at in the function of the institution as it is. I mean, you can go to other committees. They have more departments that they have to do oversight on. Now, you are expected to process a law. At the same time, you're expected to be on the ground to do oversight, which then becomes a bit of a challenge. At some point, I thought that maybe as an idea, you require a situation where you an office of the chairperson can be capacitated to be able to go and do oversight, while other members continue to do the work of legislation in parliament, to the quorum and all that, so that you don't rely on that. You can come and brief the committee on what has to be done. I want to pause there. and say that to me, I think it would be better that we have another session where we're better prepared to be able to process the ideas and put them down than now. To me, it was more of an ambush. Thank you very much.
You know, I've got two names here. I've got Nusifu, Nusifu,
I want to repeat what's been said by both Honorable Salami and Shibaka. But we must just make an impact on the issue of trade, the tools of trade, if we have to make sure that the NCOP as part of Parliament does its work in a good and real meaning of what doing legislation would be. For instance, let me just cite just one thing as an example. In fact, I want to include capacitating members. You see, when we come to Parliament, we come from different backgrounds. I would be coming from the education background. Kalani might have been a mine worker, those kinds of things. And you see, there is no qualification to be a member of Parliament. So those things have to be taken. I'm not saying Parliament should be about educated people. But I'm saying we must make sure that those members are capacitated. They understand their work. It really goes to what Kalani had said, not Kalani, but the president, on the kind of support a member gets. Then Kalani was... Why do I keep on speaking that you need to go to the next one? Yeah, it is very good. Shibaka, the issue of challenges in the NCOP. There is nothing that says a minister is compelled to introduce Section 76 legislation in the NCOP. And as members of the NCOP, you would have been in a preferred situation on Section 76. So that provinces really do their work, they go down to people. If we call public hearings, for instance, let me just say on the bill we are dealing with now, the National Gambling Bill, we'll call public hearings here only in Cape Town. It has to do with time as well. Because the legislature is also busy with its own public hearings on annual reports. Then we come from national parliament to be bringing something else. They have their own focus. It would have a better way, and it would be known quite from January. You know these are the laws that will be coming, these are the bills that will be coming. So we have to prepare so that we have a better way of doing work between the two spheres, that is national and provincial. Because the issue, as Sagai said, is about people knowing the laws of the country. We should not be the only people who can know, translate, and interpret. The people we represent should know what we are saying here. Then the other one would be the issue of provincial bills, for instance. Where do they stand in terms of national? Because my understanding and what in fact I think should happen and has to happen is we have one government. That is your national government. And I would have assumed that our provinces are supposed to be your coordinating kind of structure to make sure that there's service delivery and there's effective work done. That is your province and national. I'm sorry to I meant to say between province and the local government. So we have something that we still have to look at. And I think that would be the role of the NCOP, the bylaws, provincial bills or laws, so that we have one way of doing things as a country. You don't have a Western Cape that has its own way, you have a Gauteng that pulls that way. And lastly, the the way we engage with provinces is still a challenge. We will only engage on Section 76 matters only. That is also when we will engage with local government. We will do something sometimes that has been done already. We only go there to repeat what's been said because there will be min-max and the like. Then the challenge of Parliament now, as Parliament, and I'm saying both houses. You know, when we go out for oversight, I think one of the challenges that we still have to look at is, it would have some kind of confusing way to me. This week, our committee from the NCOP side goes to a province, and we target a certain district or municipality. Let's say on issues of local economic development. The following week, Comrade Ben Martin, who chairs trade and industry, that side, goes to the same municipality. I think when we do oversight, we need to coordinate so that we go as Parliament. And I think that would be more to do with the NCOP because we have more work or interacting with provinces than any other house.
Thanks, Chair. Just a bit of an elaboration on the challenges that are faced by the NCOP. Chair, it is the only house in the country where the three spheres of government can sit around the table and talk matters of government. But it is not as straightforward as that, since the Constitution states that all the three spheres of government are interdependent, interrelated, but to some extent also autonomous. There's a poser also about when does this autonomy come into it, when particular sphere of government performs its functions or is doing its function. The NCOP finds itself at the center always in that regard. And therefore, to some extent, it is said to be the custodian of intergovernmental relations. For some time, there has been no specific legislation to guide this until 2005 when the Intergovernmental Relations Act came into being. But it is also still some kind of a structure that does not function very well. It is a start. But also the NCOP finds itself at the center stage when dealing with matters of fiscal allocation. We have a division of Revenue Act that is passed annually, and the NCOP has to decide jointly with provinces about the equitability of the fiscal allocations to provinces and provinces and local governments. It is assisted in that exercise by the Financial and Fiscal Commission. But to give much more flesh and more liquidity to these discussions, a year-long discussion take place about priority areas that should be financed on an annual basis. These discussions take place in the Budget Council, which also has got its own challenges and limitations. But according to the discussions in this Budget Council, there are some formal agreements on the priorities of government policy, how to fund the policies of government, and which province or local government will be receiving priority in terms of funding. That's where the issue of perhaps conditional grants comes. conditional grants being funding that is allocated by national government to a national department, but the national department in turn allocates that funding to a province in order to bridge a gap concerning some backlogs that may agree. In all these matters, the financial allocation, a crucial question arises. Who should be playing oversight on the correct usage or and even on the meeting or rather the eradication of this backlog? Again, it is the NSOP that is in a particular position to exercise the function. It's got also contestation in that regard, as my colleague highlighted earlier on. Mr. Khalan and the are no clear-cut stipulations in the Constitution saying the NSOP should play this oversight. But if it didn't play the kind of a role, I guess nobody would. And therefore, our accountability would be very blunt. That is not happening. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair, and my apologies for late arrival. I started at the hospital this morning. Much has been said by my colleagues, Joyce Mancillo, Chief of Special Services, that includes health, human health, and social development, and also serving in another four departments, such as education, sports and recreation, arts and culture, science and technology, and also in GMC, joint monitoring on quality of life and status of women. You could see eight committees is a lot for a person. The number that we have carried upon is still the same. We are 10 in the committee. The problem that I want to put it forward is the capacity as already stated and support staff. As a committee dealing with three departments, I've got only one researcher dealing with all those departments. No specialist. She might specialize, he or she might specialize in one department, but it's a program. And also the support from the state law advisor. I once wrote a letter to my principal to complain that in most cases, most especially when you are dealing with bills, we don't have the support from the state law advisor. That's another challenge that we are having. Even the committee secretary. We used to have an assistant to the secretary. These days, I say, is a pool of assistants. They came as and when. They do come one day, sometimes they don't come. So as a secretary of the committee, it's so difficult to run the committee and to do other committee logistical things. So that support from the staff is lacking most of the time. I'll also talk about the bills, especially Section 76, where we have to go and read the provinces. There's a lot of delay from the portfolio committees. They'll stay there for 2 to 3 months, and when they come to us as NSOP, they give us a limited time. There's a pressure of perspective, and which comes as track, we have to go to provinces to brief them to take that 6 circles of the bill. Otherwise, we'll be challenged by the Constitutional Court because of the public participation. So there is a concern. AC program also is a challenge to our committee program because now and then programs change. As and when any disturb our program. As a result, you find yourself for a year. Like our committee this last year, done only one oversight in the Western Cape because there were no space in our program. This year, we are on the fourth term. not even a single one oversight to the provinces until next year, maybe when we come back. But the challenge is that we are few as a committee. And if our members, say members, attend the oversight, it means education trust is also going to suffer. So if maybe the number can be increased to committees. Chairperson, I don't want to repeat, but I think those few ways are just add on what my colleague said. Thank you.
Thanks very much for taking motion.
Chairperson and honorable members, much has been said. I will just try to fill here and there. I'm the chairperson of the select committee on.
Chair, it's not really a point of order, but the issue is that we met with people that we don't know. In fact, we see that they are disappearing, depleted. If we can be asked, whom did you meet? We cannot be able to explain. Can we know whom are we meeting here?
Okay. I think I'm going to allow Reverend Moacha to finish his input, and then we'll do an introduction.
Thank you, Chair. I was just saying I'm the chairperson of the Select Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs. I'm dealing with the four portfolios of agriculture and land affairs, environmental affairs and tourism, water and forestry. I'm also a member of the Select Committee on Public Service that deals with public works, transport and housing. The NA has got 400 members, and we are 54 in number, and the 54 has to carry the workload of the 400 members from the NA. The full workload, if we deal with all sections of the legislature, it means we're carrying a load of 400 members. We have 46 special delegates that come, you know, at particular times. It wouldn't have been appropriate if the special delegates could also become permanent delegates so that at least we have 100 members in all. But still, we won't be qualified really to carry that kind of workload. And if we are being assessed with the kind of workload we are carrying, I think those who are doing the assessment must be mindful of the fact of the kind of load we are carrying. There are many minds that undermine the NCOP. When we listen, there are many minds that undermine the NCOP. Why, I do not know. Maybe it's because of ignorance. If they could know, I was in the National Assembly for the first term, and I've been serving in the NCOP. I have the experience of two houses. When you can be a backbencher in the NA for the whole year, but in the NCOP, you must debate almost every week. I'm just showing those differences. When committees in the NCOP are budgeting, comparing with the committees in the NA, there's a vast difference. When I deal with four portfolios, my budget falls far low than the one portfolio committee in the NA. When I deal with three ministers and with three portfolio committee chairs, it means in comparison, it's not correct. Something is wrong. I do not understand. When the NCOP was brought into life, why this numbers which are so radically different? That's something that has to be looked into. There's abnormality happening within the NCOP that has to be considered. When there are, you know, fact-finding missions with other countries,
you would find that there is a pool for both NA and the NCOP. When the NCOP has to apply, the pool is empty because the committees in the NA have applied for the money already, so the NCOP cannot go for any fact-finding mission. I was just feeling the gas check, and I think that was possible.
Thank you very much,
Chief.
Can we first do the introductions and then I take second round of speakers? I think I'll start with myself to chair the panel. My name is Craig Govender, and I'm just going to perhaps ask each of the panel members to just introduce themselves. And I'll also give the list of those members who are not present.
Max Sulu, also a member of the panel.
Siko Siepe, also a member of the panel.
Okay, Machuk.
Just in relation to those members who have left, Colin Eglin just left, John Kane Berman just left, Frederick Sandeo Snubbin just left. And members who are not present, who are not present today, but who are members of this panel, include Shelby Bakwa, Coco Machigo, Judith Hebrili. I think that's it. So that's the members of the panel. So the chairs know who it is that you're engaging with today.
May I read something, sir?
Certainly.
Yeah, the question asked by Comrade Chitega here leaves me with a sense that the NCOP is not aware that there is a panel that is assessing the performance of Parliament. And we met with the presiding officer and agreed on the terms of reference. So I thought our names were known to the two institutions of Parliament. So it's really very shocking to hear that we are not known. That's why you are saying when they were called here that it's an ambush. Because I understand now, because we have not been introduced to the NCOP that there is a panel evaluating, and a panel that was set up by the presiding officer. So I was just throwing that as a remark. I find it very strange.
Thank you.
Chair, I'm not as alarmed as Mr. Malawi. I suspect the members, the chairpersons know about the panel. It's the faces they did not know, and hence the question. If it's in order, may I proceed and ask the questions I want to ask, or are we going to allow the chairpersons to make more input?
Mine just to highlight maybe one or two successes from the other side of the house, the NCOP. The plus in this house, Chair, is that is the program that we have developed, that it's called Taking Parliament to the People. That's the plus, that it's not done by the other house. The plus on our side. Because we're able to go and listen to the views of the public. In that program, we made sure that the three sets of parliament are there, where ministers will come and respond to questions directly to the public. I think that's the plus in this house. Secondly, another plus, what I can term a success, is what we have what we call provincial weeks. In the provincial weeks, what's happening is that each component, permanent delegates from each province, will visit their respective provinces to go and assess the state of the province address, the state of the district or municipality address, together with budget speeches of ministers, to see if what was said by all those who made those statements are implemented. And if that's not done, as this house, those provincial weeks, a report is compiled and the tabled in the in Parliament. And we're now sending the very same report to the President, who is able to question either any minister or premier or whoever. It might look as minimal, but to me, it's a plus on our side. But here, I want to come to challenges. I mean, I don't want to play big in another passage here, but I want to expose this fact. The challenge that must be awarded to all of us, even to the panel, is that why all legislations that are challenged by whoever, as government, you always lose those cases. Now, you also said that the kind of, we are considering of research capacity as chairperson or as members of parliament. But at the same time, we're saying our parliament, is it well equipped with people who can advise us accurately, not telling us what we want to hear? Let me leave it there. Now, my colleague there, Honorable Marcelo, touched on the issue of the NCOP being pressurized on fast-tracking legislation. It's a serious concern, a serious challenge. So you know, as one of the best MPs we have ever had in the country, in a previous life chair, you know what I'm talking about. When you talk of playing oversight chair, and almost, I know, I'm sure people who know this thing, because my chief whip is here. My chief whip is here, Honorable Susulu. You know, in his previous life. He knows this thing. I think I'm happy because people who are in this panel, they understand exactly what are all the challenges by this house called the NCOP. For example, I'll give you an example of this legislation, let me call it a RICA B, the interception B, coupled with the sexual offences B. Those bills were in the National Assembly for 5 solid years. So that referred to the NCOP for the past 3 weeks. I'm in possession of a letter now that says I must do the best I can so that the 2 bills are completed in the coming 3 weeks. While the bills were in the NA for 5 solid years, not exaggerating. Those are challenges that I don't know who can solve them, but those are challenges. Now, you get this thing of saying the NCOP is a processing house. Well, that's processing. Yeah, I need to say some other things here. I don't think I'm going to stop just here. Yeah, I was just about to say some other things that yeah, but we're having different chapters. One other thing is the research capacity. It's true. Research capacity is lacking because the people who are, with due respect, those who are researchers, some of them don't even know the subject matter. They're just researchers because they. I think it's high time when the powers that be should, when we want researchers to stay in a particular cluster, they must specialize in that particular cluster. Because for people who are not specializing, advising people, as was said by my colleague, Honorable Duanagi, that nobody is qualified to become a member of parliament.
So those are some of the things that happened. Many of the things that were said by my colleagues. Maybe we should allow the panel maybe to ask questions. Thanks.
Thank you very much to the chair for the input, and I'll open to all views about to start the engagement.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe what I should do is to pose questions that I usually hear people asking about the NCOP. Firstly, if it were to be recommended that the NCOP should be disbanded, would the citizens of the country miss the NCOP? That's the first thing. And if they would, what is it about the NCOP they would miss? What benefit that accrues from the existence of the NCOP would citizens miss? I mean, miss. Then there's the whole question of who members of the NCOP represent. You have members of a provincial legislature who represent, well, supposedly, citizens of a province. And therefore, they are the direct representatives of the will of the people of that province, supposedly. Then they send you to come here to constitute the NCOP. When you are here, who are you representing? That provincial legislature or the people of that province? If the answer is that you represent the people of that province, how does that representation of the will of the people of that province manifest itself by way of one or two examples? An aspect of the argument about inadequate capacity relates to the numbers. Now, this problem was raised also by the chairperson from the National Assembly this morning. Is this a view of the chairperson here that both the numbers in the National Assembly and the NCOP, or the numbers in the NCOP, should be increased from the current number of representatives that we have? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Aubrey. I'm wondering whether other panel members would like to raise their questions now, so that we could actually then, because it's already 4:15, and we have 15 minutes. So I'm wondering if you could just raise all the questions, the issues you want to discuss, and then we can have some engagement around them.
Yeah. I just wanted to find out on the question of the relationship between the NCOP and the National Assembly. Because my experience has always been that the two houses are not of equal status. And then I just want to find out whether that has improved, and whether, even with regard to resourcing, there is a formula that is used, that is transparent, in the sense that there were always rumblings that the NCOP is not a permanent house, it's a temporary house, and also the funding was sort of system skewed. So I just want to find out whether that situation has improved. And the question of accountability of ministers. The constitution says that ministers account to parliament. And parliament is both houses. So my understanding is that there can be no question as to why does the NCOP call ministers to account. Because they account to parliament, and parliament the NCOP is part of parliament. Is there a model that the NCOP has developed in order to realize that accountability by ministers, or is just ad hoc when the NCOP feels they have to call a minister on a certain issue, they just say the minister should come? Are they looking towards the model as the National Assembly chairpersons have told us this morning, that they are developing a model of accountability and they are enjoined by the Constitution to do so? So my thinking would be that even the NCOP should be having that model, because the Constitution provides that it should have its own internal arrangements. Are there any moves towards that direction? And the relationship of the members of the NCOP and the staff. The chairpersons of committees of the National Assembly were saying that it seems they are working for the administration, and the administration is not servicing them, when it should be the other way around. What are the experiences of members of the NCOP regarding this? The question of provincial mandates, it was a sore point from the start, and we know that most of the mandates that come from the both negotiating and voting mandates are done in committees. You find that it's the whole question of coordination, and we've been grappling with it for a very long time. The issue of fast-tracking bills. You find that Parliament wants a bill to be passed before it goes to recess. And when they send for mandates to the provinces are in recess. Is there such a coordination now between the sittings of the provincial legislatures and the sittings of the National Council of Provinces? Let me pause there.
Yeah, I think mine will be more of two comments, which also reflects a sense of unequal treatment of the two houses. From the panel side, I would actually say we had a very lovely long session with the National Assembly this morning. And when it comes to the NCOP, we do not seem to give them as much time. So we may have to ask ourselves whether we are not part of a problem constituting this level of bias. I'm also saying this with an advantage of having spent 3 days with the NCOP when it had its summit. And I was pleasantly surprised at the amount of work that goes into the NCOP. I came out not having the same view that is expressed by my colleague Aubrey in asking the question, because I actually became much more convinced that if there is a house that is actually critical in terms of having to integrate or having to bring those three spheres of government together for a real dialogue, that's where it should actually happen. And I'm also saying this influenced by the former chairperson of the NCOP, Tera Lokota's presentation, in which case he actually began to sophisticate what was actually envisaged by the formation of NCOP. I mean, when the chair opened the donor, did indicate that it is not a place for simply processing. It's supposed to do much more. But what has been the problem is that the problem is have less to do with those people who are in the NCOP. it may have more to do with the people who are also in the National Assembly. Because one of the concerns that Minister Lokota did raise is the non-appearance of members of the National Assembly in that summit, which if your own colleagues do not begin to take you actually seriously, it begins to create all this sort of, junior partners in our democracy. The other issue that he also raised was the fact that if the president has to choose a minister, the president chooses a minister from the National Assembly, effectively saying those who are in the NCOP do not matter, so you have to resign from being a member of the NCOP to becoming a member of the National Assembly so that the president can select you. So effectively, these are some of the things that Minister Lokota was problematizing, that the weakness is structural. I mean, the weakness is resource-based, and yet the constitution invested something much more sophisticated. So the challenge that is facing the NCOP is how do you begin to live to that degree of complexity and sophistication that was actually invested in the world's name. Actually, I could say more because I even wrote stuff on that, on the NCOP. But I do think that if there is a criticism that I could actually put to the NCOP, it's the failure to communicate all this that they do. I mean, like you indicate that if you're a backbencher in a National Assembly, you can sit there and sleep all the time. But when you're in the NCOP, you have no time to sleep. But you also don't have resources. But you also don't, so there's quite a... So, Madam Chair, I'm also saying even we should approach this not with a general bias that is already given. And maybe that this fellow, you are actually correct to say it's not so much of an ambush, but that you need to have time to be able to explain and to express your frustration with us. I'll leave it there.
I think just a point of clarity in relation to the timing for today. The Secretary of Support for the panel followed up with the Chair of Chairs of both houses, the NA and the NCOP, and were told by the Chair of Chairs, Mrs. Oliphant, that the NCOP today could only be here for 1.5 hours. So I think perhaps just in terms of clarity, because I think we as the panel want to obviously hear equally from both houses what the situation is, and are not in any way wanting to undermine one house over the other. Thanks.
It's our collective decision, everyone's by own it. We've got a unity that processes these issues in the NCOP. I think we said, Kalan, we were there. Were you there? In the Honorable Oliphant's office. We agreed about logistics for this meeting, how it should unfold. We were them, Kalan. Unfortunately, other members who belong to that unit were not there for other reasons. But I just want to place it in on record that it's our choice. It's not any... It should not be read as a prejudice by anybody's choice or decision. Just adding on what you are saying. It's our choice. We might have overestimated or underestimated, things. But I think we must own it.
Thank you very much for that, Mr. Tona. Max, please.
Just a couple of things, three, Madam Chair. One, maybe to not to discourage members of the NCOP. I'm sure the President also looks at the NCOP. Terrence Lokota himself was a member of the NCOP, and so is Naledi Pando and Surti. So you don't get discouraged, Comrade Chief. That might be. Because I'd be included in a game in there. The other issue I wanted to raise was mentioned about the role of the NCOP and issues of, the changes in the provincial boundaries. Now, here I'm not sure whether this issue has actually been debated in the NCOP around Kusong, Matatiel. The issues of the boundaries, I mean, it falls squarely within the scope of NCOP. What role the NCOP has played in this process, I'm not sure, even in debating and discussing these issues, because certainly it's a provincial matter, the boundaries. The other one, of course, which I don't mind too, are the changes of names. And I did say to people that I, as a South African, every square inch of this land is mine, as everybody else's. And so when they change names somewhere in Limpopo, they assume I have no interest in the changing of names in Limpopo. I have an interest in any of the name changes in any part of South Africa. So the process of consultation for me is also very crucial. You know, it's just not for people of that area who decide on my behalf that they will change it to whatever it is. It says those processes need to be cleaned up a bit, and clearly there is scope for the NCOP to be part of these processes. The other one is, of course, the imbizo. Again, it's a provincial issue because the president goes and has imbizos in the provinces. What role the provinces play in this, I'm not quite sure, whether they are part of the organizing committee, whether they are consulted or whatever. Not that the president should consult every person about his decision, but it would be interesting to know what role the provinces themselves play, and also the NCOP in terms of publicizing it or whatever. And also getting the reverse is also true, getting people to come to parliament from the provinces to talk around provincial issues. Let it be a platform of the people of the country. Again, the NCOP certainly needs to play some role in that regard. Around the issue of capacity building and whatnot, I think it's been raised both this morning with the NA National Assembly and NCOP this afternoon. I remember at some point we tried to make these classes, even around economics, because if you're going to read the budget, you have to understand it. And so we did organize these classes. Somehow they got discontinued because we've got universities all over and there's funding for this. You know, either our own funding or somebody else's funding. In other words, we need to capacitate our own MPs. And they do it all over the world. And it would be strange if South Africans did not want to take advantage of that opportunity of getting people to come and give lectures. The universities, whoever. There is, a need for us to learn from each other and to teach each other. So that is the third point. The last one is the bills themselves. 99%, we're told, of the bills originate from government, from the department. Now, I'm not sure why this should be the case. NCOP and National Assembly initiate bills, or is it simply processing the bills? And the reason you want to look at that is that in conjunction with the provinces, a certain bill you might want to initiate here in conjunction with the provinces that you represent, so that at the end of the day, there's some balance between bills coming from government or government departments or bureaucrats and bills coming from parliament and the parliamentarian. Thanks.
Thanks. Is there any other members of the panel that want to add anything?
Just one little point. Hopefully, Mashika was right that we need to grill you, but maybe this is not the time. We'll have to find another opportunity.
I just want to share something, you know, so that we are not caught by surprise. I want to assume, in terms of the rules, some of the meetings are. Is this meeting open?
Yes, it is. All our meetings are open, unless we actually decide otherwise. The meeting this morning was open.
Okay, fine, no problem. I don't have a problem with that, but members must take cognizance of that, so that whoever says what, it should not be a slippery of time. Not because you will be intimidated, so that you own it up. Like, don't say, you know, you have just a seat. That's the point I'm saying. I'm raising this thing against what has happened. No, I don't want to really repeat it. No. But the point I want to say, Chairperson, is that some of the issues that have been raised are quite fundamental in my view. And maybe the starting point that South Africa, not only NCOP, it's not NCOP that will resolve this. NCOP is going out of the constitution, which is a construct that expresses the will of the people of South Africa. I think this particular panel provides an opportune moment, you know, for the NCOP, the people of South Africa, to begin to rethink, to give a rethink on this particular contract called the National Council of Provinces. We have said it's unique. I think I concur with Kala. And that's what happens. We may not want to be absolute in making certain statements. I want to respond to what Aubrey has said. But we want to say, from where I said, there's no consensus. And that consensus may not even be there in the NCOP. It may not even be there elsewhere. Mr. Maxisul, as to where there is a shared consensus, a shared perspective, as to what do we mean when we talk about provincial interest. Are we talking about the will of the people, or are we talking about the decisions and the will of the legislature as an organized body? You know, I think you have raised a very fundamental question. And my own observation and my own view is that there haven't been focused discussions, there hasn't been dialogue around that particular issue. And it's quite critical for the position of the SOP, because if you are not able to answer that issue, there's no way in which we can position the SOP for future relevance. No? So that's the first thing. We may have differences of opinion around that. No? Secondly, much as I agree that there's an issue around numbers, but I think as well, maybe before we even talk about numbers, whether in the form of a question or whether in the form of an expression of experience, as on the part of ourselves as members of the NC, having experienced difficulties with this, I think there's a need that we need to agree, on a commonly agreed benchmark in terms of on all these issues that we are talking about. If we talk about the NCOP, against what are we benchmarking it? Are we benchmarking it against the National Assembly? Because the dichotomy itself may create problems. I want to agree with the statement that was said, that they were not created for the same purpose, and for that matter, they are not the same. And they cannot be the same, And now, the issue of the benchmarking of the NCOP, it leads into a whole host of issues, including its size and composition. It's quite fundamental. And the comparison of how the Bundesrat, comparison of how the Indian, certain houses, the Nigerian one, National Council of Provinces in Namibia and whatever, may actually provide some insights around benchmarking. Maybe we may agree on those issues, or we may disagree. So those are the three issues that I felt Jefferson that I must rise on. In terms of the issues that have been raised by Professor on the Mr. Magali on the accountability, I think there's an improvement, Mr. Malafi. I think there's a great improvement. It would be an overstatement. In fact, economically, with the truth, if anyone can make a claim that ministers are not giving NCOP the due respect, in terms of accounting, accountability, coming to answer questions, coming to present the bill. I think the situation has improved in my own observation. Quite extreme. Then the issue of oversight and accountability is a joint project. It's not an MA project. It's a joint project of Parliament, which I think is quite critical in answering some of the questions that have been posed here. So, for instance, if the Constitution says here are the two houses, or the Constitution says here is South African Parliament, is constituted by the National Assembly, which is this animal which has got this number of horns, if it has got horns, and it's constituted by the National Council of Provinces, which is this kind of this animal, We then need to examine whether in our last 10 years of experiences have we been true to the spirit of that constitution. And I will make an example here. And I know that when I make these examples at times, it becomes a little bit controversial. If the constitution put in no uncertain terms, certain ways, or apply certain ways in no uncertain terms, I suspect, I'm not a lawyer, whether by training or profession, I suspect that it intended to achieve something. When you look on the National Assembly, for instance, when you talk about the Constitution, it will amend the Constitution. But when it talks about the NCOP, it says it will participate in the amendment of the Constitution. And my own frank view is that we have not interrogated what does this mean, and how do we position ourselves to ensure that we give expression, in a true sense of the word. The second example related to that is on the power of the two houses in relation to two sets of legislation. When you look on the Constitution, on Section 76 legislation, it actually gives the NCOP more power, overriding power over the National Assembly. It's a fact of the matter. You can read it. But when it comes to the 7.5 legislation. FOTC become more of an advisory body. No, vice versa. Right? Now, fundamental strategic question is, should we then approach legislative work, particularly as it relates to this set of legislation, in the manner in which we have approached it? Is it adequate? Is it positioning the NCOP? Is it achieving what Ms. Pando, the former chairperson, calls niche excellence? Because we all agree that the NCOP has got a specific role which is unique and it should go for niche excellence. So I think the extent to which we answer those fundamental issues and prove what do they mean in the Constitution and how we have given expression to this in our own practices and systems, it's fundamental to answering some of the questions that have been raised here. It may not be something that happened overnight.
Thanks very much for that. I'm aware that we've run out of time, and I'm also aware that there are members of the panel that have to get to the airport to catch their flight. And I think it would be a great pity that we continue without the panel members present. So I'm going to propose that even though we haven't completed, I think we've just begun really the discussion and the engagement around these issues, that we do stop here, that we actually work out a clear process for how we continue this engagement, so that the points that have been raised, the questions that have been raised, the proposals that have been raised are consolidated and are able to feed into the panel's recommendations as to what is needed to improve the functioning of this parliament, both the NA and the NCOP, in terms of meeting its constitutional obligations. One of the key things that we ended the meeting with the NA chairs was an agreement that the NA chairs, and I think it's the recommendation I'm making for the NCOP chairs, is that a meeting take place between the NCOP chairs themselves to look at the different areas and look at concrete proposals that you would like to suggest, or areas for further investigation that you think that you would like to recommend to the panel to be able to make to incorporate into its report or into its own deliberation. And also, if necessary, in your own discussion, whether you feel it's necessary that you would like to actually meet again with the panel, that's something that can be put forward for consideration. Is that acceptable to everyone? Is there acceptance of that? Because I know people are really pushed for time in terms of getting to the airport for flights. And the buses as well. Unless there's something really urgent around this, I'm great to ask.
Okay, I would not say it's urgent, but I think the process to be outlined, the deadlines that you have yourself as a committee and so on, so that whatever we do, we know how does it fit within what we need to be done and the mandate and the time frame that we have.
Thank you very much. I think what will happen is that the secretariat to the panel will actually communicate very clearly all of that information to yourself, so all the chairs of the NCOP are very clear about that. And can use that as a guiding framework for your own discussions. If there's nothing further, then I'd like to thank all the chairpersons for your attendance and participation here today, and the discussions and the ideas that have come forward from all the chairs of the NCOP today. Thank you very much, and thank you to the panel members for joining back home.
Thank you.